to Travel Itch Radio, the show that lets you scratch your lust for travel from the friendly confines of your home. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg, along with my wandering co-host, Anita Stokes-Thomas. Every week at this time, we bring you inside the world of travel, from hotels and tours to cruise ships, planes, trains, and things you can eat or read on your trip. Listen live on iTunes or blogtalkradio.com, or check out the show later on Facebook, blogtalkradio.com, or my website, danschlossberg.net. Our special guest tonight in the 329th edition of Travel Itch Radio, we're going to talk to Cindy Ladich about the travels of a farm girl. Welcome, Cindy, to Travel Itch Radio.
Thank you for having me. I'm so glad to be here with you guys. I appreciate the invite.
We are really glad to have you. Cindy, you live on a farm in the Midwest, and you've carved yourself a niche I've never seen before. So tell us about the traveling adventures of a farm girl.
Well, Traveling Adventures of a Farm Girl is my blog. I started it in 2012, and I started it to share stories about the backroads adventures, about the wonderful people and places and things I see in small towns, festivals, museums, and the out-of-way places that I visit.
Okay, now please don't take this next question the wrong way, but I'm a huge fan of Green Acres, where Eddie Albert plays Oliver Wendell Douglas, a lawyer who leaves the big city for the fresh air. Did you follow a similar path?
Not quite the same, because I'm not from the city, but it is similar in a way, though. I did grow up on a small town, and I always loved the idea of living on a farm, but I'd never lived in the country until I married my husband. I went to college, and I got a degree in biology, and my original plan was to work in the environmental field and move out west. Then I fell in love and married this farmer and became enamored with farming and got kind of rooted into the Midwest. My first job was working with the Environmental Protection Agency in Springfield and later at the Illinois Emergency Management Agency. So my degree didn't go to waste.
Okay, and since you live in the Midwest where there are lots of farms, do you concentrate on those destinations in doing your travel writing?
Well, I travel all over, but I really do concentrate a lot on the Midwest, and I'm happy to do that, too, because I think that the Midwest does get left out a lot, and a lot of farming history is really here in the Midwest. Like, I know a trip that we took last summer was to Frohlich, Iowa, and that's actually where the gas-powered traction engine, which was the forerunner of the tractor, was developed, and John Deere that did the plow, it was developed right in Grand Detour, Illinois. I do find history farming can be found everywhere, you know, from the Biltmore, where there was forest preservation, to Syracuse, where they had the North American Travel Association, you know, our last meeting there. There I learned about salt history in Lake Onondaga. I'm not sure how to pronounce the lake.
Onondaga.
But thank you. So, you know,
it took
like
me 4 years at Syracuse University to learn how to pronounce that.
Oh, I'm glad to hear you say that. But it seems like there's farm history everywhere, but there's really, it really seems to have a lot of it concentrated here in the Midwest.
Okay. Anita, the ball's in your court.
Hi, Cindy. Now, I was wondering, though, are there any specific outlets, though, for farm-related stories, or do you try to engage all travel publications with your unique angle?
There actually are. I do a little bit of both, but I write for Farm World, and I do a column for them called Wrenching Tales, and the column is actually about old iron. It's about old tractors and farm toys and the literature and the memorabilia that accompany those different brands. There are actually collectors out there that collect according to their favorite brand. Some collectors like John Deere, other like International Harvester, some like Oliver, some like Alice Chalmers. And then to go along with those things, there's, you know, the literature, the memorabilia. Dealerships, they came up with a lot of promotional materials to go with all of those brands, and so I write about those. And besides writing for Farm World, there's collector magazines, and I write for a lot of those collector publications. I write for Green Magazine, which is about John Deere. I write for Red Power, which is about International Harvester, and I write for Toy Farmer. And then I also parlay a lot of travel articles into a senior publication I write for, and I try to put a farm flavor on a lot of the things that I write. One of the things that I enjoy a lot is there's a magazine called Heritage Iron, which is about what they call muscle tractors, kind of the tractors like from the 60s and beyond, when I write museum and mansion pieces for her. And that's one of my favorite things to do, write about mansions with agricultural history.
Now, we're talking with Cindy Ladditch about traveling with a farm girl.
And Anita, I want to ask you at this point, you have several other radio shows that you're involved with, and why don't you tell our listeners where else they can find you besides Travel Itch Radio?
Oh, well, I tell you, I'm like you, Dan. I'm always trying to find somewhere to go. So I like to come back and talk about it on my radio show called Travel Bags with Anita and Friends, which you can hear on Saturdays by going to my website, which has the same name, travelbagswithanita.com. And I'm all over social media. You can find me on Instagram at Anita, my first name with two N's, A-N-N-I-T-A, the letter N, and Friends, Anita and Friends. You can find me there.
That's great. And back to you, Cindy. What are some of the places you've gone recently?
One of my favorite stops recently was just like about an hour from home. I toured the Coupon County Courthouse, which they call the Million Dollar Courthouse. It was kind of a scandalous story about this courthouse, and there's a courtroom that's beautiful as about any cathedral I've ever been in. It was not supposed to cost any more than $50,000, but it cost $1 million. The guide told us that that's about $23 million in today's dollars. In February, I visited the Soule Steam Museum in Meridian, Mississippi. It was just like walking back. They just left it the way it was back in the 30s, and it was this amazing museum. And then about a little over a week ago, I went to Farmall Land, and it was a museum all about International Harvester tractors and collectibles. It was very interesting because the man that owns the museum, his father had an International Harvester dealership in the town of Avoca, Iowa, where the museum is located.
Well, since you specialize in the Midwest, I've got to ask you, there's something on my bucket list that I've never done, Midwest-based, Metropolis, Illinois Superman Festival. Have you ever been there?
I have been to Superman. I've been down to Metropolis, and I've been to the Superman Museum, but I have never made it to the festival. That's on my list as well.
Okay, Superman Museum, I've got to add that to my bucket list. And also, what's on your bucket list for future trips?
On my bucket list is in a few weeks, I'm actually going to Lindsberg, Kansas, and that's a little Swedish town that I'm looking forward to. They have a cute downtown, and I'm going to get a tour of the flour mill, and they have a bison herd that you get a tour by tram. July is filled with tractor shows in Illinois and Indiana, and in August I have a press trip with another friend of mine, Sarah Brewers, and we're going to some stops in Indiana. We're going to go to Richmond, Indiana, and we're going to go to Put-in-Bay, Ohio, a real cool town on Lake Erie, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Well, Cindy, is it fair to say that I was wondering, Cindy, is it fair to say you specialize in agricultural travel writing? I know there was an agricultural trip offered during the North American Travel Journalists Association conference in central New York.
Yeah, that is a fair assessment, Anita. With agriculture changing so much over time, agricultural preservation really is my passion. While I write about many different topics, agricultural really does fill many of the pages of my publications. In New York, I did have fun going on one of the trips, and it was outdoors. We saw many beautiful things outdoors, but part of it was going to Heritage Hill Brewery. And it was fascinating to learn that the owner's father had been an Oliver tractor dealer along with a farmer. The new owner actually incorporates his love of the farm in his brewery, and he has pictures of a big farm show, I think it was called the Empire Farm Days, if I recall, that was held at his farm in the country store on his property. it's really cool because I always seem to find a good farm story when I go to the NACHA events.
Well, that's a good story to find, especially for you.
I thought so. Yeah, I was really, you know, amazed to see that connection way out in New York.
And those are the best when you go on those trips and find those connections. But now, since travel journalists must find time to do their writing, sell their work, and also take care of personal and family situations, how often do you get out to travel?
Well, my traveling really varies depending on the time of year. I travel a couple times a month in the summer and the winter, not quite as much in the fall and spring because of farming. Of course, that just depends on the opportunities that come up. Sometimes there's something just too good to pass up.
Well, do you go solo or with your husband and family?
Unless it's a press trip, I either usually travel with my husband or a family member or a friend. I have traveled alone. I know I went on a really cool trip out to Oregon where I flew in and took a car around, and it was really it was a good growing experience. But I usually really enjoy it more when I travel with someone else along.
I can understand that. Now we're talking with Cindy Ladage about traveling with a farm girl.
And Cindy, do you pick your own destinations, accept fam trip offers, or work on assignment from some of your regular editors?
I really do a combination, Dan, of all of these. I do accept fam trip offers as long as I can be assured of placing the story or that it fits in well with Traveling Adventures of a Farm Girl. On my blog, I do pick out destinations like the Put-In Bay, Ohio. That's been on my list for a while. Last year, I mentioned Manitoulin Island in a Twitter reply to the owner of a guest house, and she invited Keith and I, Keith is my husband, to go up to a beautiful area, to that beautiful area. Some assignments end up covering local events. Yesterday, I ended up in the town of Effingham covering a herbicide day for a Farm World. I live near Springfield, Illinois, and we have a lot of historic Lincoln history there, as well as like the lovely Frank Lloyd Wright House and more. And I know at that Abraham Lincoln Presidential Museum, I had told you a while back, there was a site you would have loved. They had baseball rivals there, and I thought of you when I went to that event. They had a Cubs
Oh, well, that's good to hear.
Rivalry.
Well, I'm sure you've been to some places way off the beaten path, so tell us about the tractor with the tree running through it.
That tractor with the tree running through it was really cool. It was an ash tree, and that 1939 John Deere A was found along the Little Sioux River. The owner bought it from an 80-year-old man that had just left it to set for 30 years. It took four men 4 hours to cut the tree out of the brush, and the owner, Jay Steffen, calls it his tractor, and he has no plans to restore it. I saw it at the Classic Green Reunion Tractor Show a couple weeks ago in Grand Island, Nebraska. He takes it around and shows it as is.
Well, we know you went to Kenosha, Wisconsin on a recent trip. Who or what convinced you to go there?
I'm part of the Midwest Travel Bloggers, and they have monthly Twitter chats, and one of those was on Kenosha. I won a basket of cheese from them, and from that chat, I really became enamored with the town. The Kenosha CVB invited me to come up and check out the lovely town by Lake Michigan. My friend Annie Jansen went with me, and we stayed in a recently renovated Elks Club that's now it's called the Stella Hotel and Ballroom, and we toured several wonderful, they have like five museums there in Kenosha, and a wonderful lighthouse, and got a ride in a trolley, and we basically ate our way through Kenosha. And of course, we did stop again at the Mars Cheese Factory and brought home cheese.
Well, you have to stop for cheese if you're in Wisconsin, that's for sure.
That's right. That's right.
Now, tell us about some of your other trips. They all sound so interesting, especially the more unusual ones.
Yeah, there's always something. I think I can find a farming angle for almost anything. A couple years ago, I got invited to the BC Shellfish Festival, and during that trip, I had a chance to visit a salmon farm. I rode in a hot air balloon covering a balloon festival this past February. A friend and I got to, she drove and I rode in a tractor in a parade. Last December, Keith and I attended a really cool Chris Kindle Market event where they had a parade and the Christmas angel sang outside of a beautiful monastery in Ferdinand, Indiana. I go to farm toy show events every year, and these are really unusual where farm toys are actually set up in the hotel rooms. If you've never been to an event like that, they're really different. There's also this amazing mill that came originally from Germany that you can tour. It's in a very unusual stop in Golden, Illinois, and it's been converted to a museum. That also makes for a very unusual and different kind of stop.
And I want to tell our listeners, you're listening to Travel It Radio with Dan Schlossberg and Anita Stokes-Thomas. Find the archive show on blogtalkradio.com or check out Travel It Radio on Facebook. We're also on iTunes. And we're talking with Cindy Ladage about traveling adventures of a farm girl. Cindy, what is it like living on a farm in an age when technology gets more advanced every day?
There's always something different, something new with agriculture. That is one of the reasons I think agricultural preservation is so important. With auto steer now, tractors actually steer themselves. There's always so much to learn. It used to be that Keith could fix everything himself, but now when something goes astray, you about have to call a mechanic to come out and fix stuff because everything is pretty much computerized anymore.
Well, what is your farm like? Do you have farm chores like milking cows and feeding chickens?
Well, our farm is a grain farm, Anita. We grow corn and we grow soybeans. The only animals we have are barn cats. During harvest, I'm a gopher. I go for this and go for that. So I am really busy during harvest. I'm fixing meals and just basically doing whatever needs to be done.
It sounds like full days there. But now
I was just saying it is kind of a dawn to dusk kind of thing, you know, during the fall and the spring.
I can see that. Now, travel writers always have their favorite places, properties, and airlines. So please share. What are yours?
Well, one recent favorite property here in the Midwest that Keith and I discovered was the Gold Moor in Galena. We were hosted there for our anniversary back in March, and it's just a beautiful property. I really like historic hotels like the Black Hawk in Davenport, Iowa. And what I really love is not only can you stay there, but they also have an amazing tour. So if you don't want to stay, you can go and have a tour of the hotel. Each year, we usually find ourselves in Amana, Iowa around Christmas. We stay at Zuber's Homestead. Amana, Iowa was a communal settlement of German pious that lasted there from like the late 1800s to the early 1930s. It's really like going back in time. I like Allegiant Airlines. That's one of my favorite airlines when we fly south on. Although we usually do drive, most years we go to an event called the Florida Flywheelers. It's a tractor show / flea market, and we always just really enjoy that area.
Okay, well, I've got to ask you this next question because I've been asked this a lot, and I always come up with something. So have you ever had an embarrassing moment or two as a travel journalist?
I'm sure there have been many. Usually everything, there's a couple different things that usually happen with me. Either freezing, just where all of a sudden, I think part of it's just getting older where you're like, just freeze, or dropping things, because it seems like most of my embarrassing moments either involve my clutchiness, or worst of all is my ability to get lost. I just have no directional capability, so I really depend a lot on garments, but sadly, yesterday on Facebook, I saw a friend of mine had a thing on there about a bunch of people that followed Google Maps, and I think it was out in Colorado, and they ended up out in a field. So I'm going to have to make sure I have that map with me from now on after seeing that.
Okay. Well, also, I've seen your byline on a number of books. Could you elaborate what you do as an author?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I've written a couple children's books with a co-author named Jane Allman. We wrote The Christmas Tractor, and we wrote Tucker Surprise, and we wrote My Name is Huber. We wrote, these are, two of them are our children's farm books, and Huber is the story of a tractor that came off the assembly line in 1929, and Huber is a story through the tractor's eyes. Then I wrote another children's book on my own, and I've wrote a couple fiction novels on my own, and a series of short stories as well.
Oh, very nice. And
Thank you, Cindy.
Our listeners always like to learn more about our guests, so please tell us where you were born, raised, and schooled, and how you became a writer and specifically a travel journalist.
Well, thank you. I was born in the town of Pinckneyville, Illinois. I was raised in Mattoon and Pawnee. I went to Lincoln Lane Community College for a year, then Eastern Illinois, then finished at Sangamon State with a BA in biology. Later, I went back, and the school, Sangamon State, changed to the University of Illinois by then, and I got my master's in communications. I worked for the state of Illinois in the environmental field, and I'd always wanted to write. I had started writing for Senior News and Times and Farm World while I was still working. While I wrote some travel stories, when I retired from the state, I decided that I really wanted to travel more and share about the wonderful places that I find and share them with others. So I kind of set up my blog with that purpose, and I've loved every mile I've traveled since then. My only problem is there's too much to see and too little time.
Oh, I can relate to that.
Well, I think we all can, especially all of us who love travel so much. Now, we've asked a lot of questions. So I know, so exciting, always wanting to go somewhere new. Now, we've asked a lot of questions, but is there anything we haven't asked that you would like to add?
Well, I guess the only thing on there, too, is just I'm married to a wonderful farmer named Keith, and we have three grown children and two grandchildren that are really the light of my life. We spend a lot of time. I'm really lucky because my family lives close by, and I get a chance to spend time with my family, and that's just everything.
Wow, that sounds really special. But now, Yeah, truly blessed. But now, Cindy, where can our Travel Itch radio listeners find your work?
My travel blog is called Traveling Adventures of a Farm Girl, and they can find that online, and I'd love to have more subscribers if they want to sign up. Farm World is online. Senior News and Times, the whole publication is not online, but they can find it. And a lot of the collector, if anybody likes old iron, they can find me in most of the collector publications as well.
You know, those collector publications are probably something that I contribute to because I'm a major contributor to something called Sports Collector's Digest, which comes out of the Midwest, Stevens Point, Wisconsin. And I write about books and baseball cards and things near and dear to my heart. So baseball to me is like farm and stuff like that to you, like tractors to you, I guess. Right, Cindy?
Exactly. Yes, there's a real niche in the collector publications. And as you know, people are very passionate about the things that they collect. And sometimes I think it's as much fun finding out about how someone found that special baseball card. Or, you know, sometimes the story of the hunt is just as good as the piece that they found.
That's very well put. Especially when you're referring to the 1910 Honus Wagner baseball card is worth over $1 million because it was put out by a tobacco company over Wagner's objections. He hated smoking, and he sued and had all the cards recalled. Seven of them somehow survived. So any one of those cards, especially in mint condition, perfect condition, is worth over $1 million. Just a little piece of cardboard with Honus Wagner's picture. So you're absolutely right at what you said. One man's junk is another man's treasure, right? Or a woman, as the case may be.
You got that. You got that. I know there's agricultural trading cards. I know some of them sell. We were talking to a friend in Iowa last week. We went out to a big farm show out there. The one where the tree, where we saw the tractor with the tree through it. And we had a friend that we stopped at, and he was talking about a sign that just sold for like $15,000. So, yeah, some of this collectible items that do have a lot of value to them. No $1 million.
I would love to have an autographed Arnold Ziffel card. That would be just great.
Well, that sounds
if anybody
good.
Remembers
I know,
Green
I
Acres,
have
if anybody remembers Green Acres, Arnold Ziffel was a talking pig on that show.
Oh, yes. I do remember watching that show. But what I always got cracked up about was all the pancakes that she made every time.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But when Arnold Ziffel won a scholarship to Harvard, he rejected it because he found that it was sponsored by Armor Star.
Oh. He didn't want to become ham, huh?
That's about it. Anyway, our special guest tonight has been my longtime friend and colleague, Cindy Ladage. Thank you, Cindy. Great show. Thank you for being with us on Travelitch Radio.
I just can't thank you guys enough. This was just so sweet to invite me, and I really am blessed, and I really appreciate the chance to contribute about farming and to profile the Midwest. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm glad you did, because it was a rare find for us, too. We really haven't covered that area as much as we should have, and I'm glad we got the chance. And Anita, I want to ask you, before we get into my close, where have you been recently? You've been to Vail or something, or you've been all over the place?
I have. I was in Vail. I was in Temecula, California, in Newport Beach, California. I've been a little bit of everywhere. Palm Springs, where it was 118 degrees one day while I was there.
Huh?
It was crazy.
That is
way too hot to
wear any kind of clothes. So I hope you had a good time.
I did.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. And listeners, when you're thinking about gifts for summer birthdays, graduations, or just beach reading, how about the new baseball Bible, my 424-page illustrated unorthodox history of baseball? It's not only the most unusual baseball book ever published, but 424 pages for less than a saw book. Such a deal. Order on Amazon.com today. Have it in plenty of time as a gift for your favorite baseball fan or yourself. And if you want a special autographed, personalized edition, come to my signing in Cooperstown in front of the Willis Money Rare Bookstore near the Theater Marquee on Main Street from 11 to 1 on July 20th. Saturday, July 20th, 11 to 1 in front of the Willis Money Rare Bookstore. I'll be signing three different books there, so be there or be square. And that's it for this edition of Travelitch. Next week is July 4th. So enjoy the fireworks. We return in 2 weeks, July 11th, with Deborah Ayler from Fredericksburg, Virginia, talking lots of Civil War stuff. Same time, same station, same writer, same announcers. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg, along with my close friend, Anita Stokes Thomas, saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time, good night.